I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Well, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. The Bible is right. This is Pastor Williams speaking to you. Glory to God. You know the Bible is right. So because we know it's right, we can go on with the show, right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for God's word being right. We thank God for it every single week. Beloved, we're in Proverbs 17, and we're down to the third verse this evening. Glory to God. We're considering the third verse, 17:3. And in the King James Version, the Bible reads, "The fining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." The Lord trieth the hearts. Amen. And we see here, glory to God, that God can do what man can't. God can try the hearts. Men can refine silver in a pot. I remember when I lived in Dallas, Texas, I used to go to Sunshine Mining Company office and buy 100-ounce bars of silver. And at that time, you could afford it because silver was only maybe $6 an ounce way back then. And so you could afford 100 ounce. What was that? $500, $600. You could afford to buy these 100-ounce ingots or big bars of silver. I wish I would have kept one, not so much for the investment or the money's sake, but just to have a bar of refined silver. Amen. But men can refine silver, and interestingly enough, at a certain stage of refinement, they call it sterling silver. Amen. Men can refine it to 99.9%, not 100%, but 99.9%. Men can refine silver in a big pot. These are special pots that can get go up to 2,000-3,000 degrees, and men can place gold in the equivalent of a blast furnace, amen, and refine that gold, amen. Because in fact, do you know that there's gold is all over the place? I live in South Carolina. There's streams where there's gold, but it's not in abundance enough to make it profitable to pan. But gold is all over the place. It's rock. It's mingled in with the rocks. Amen. Glory to God. But when men get those little chips of gold and little rocks of gold, they can put it in a blast furnace, the equivalent of a blast furnace, and bring forth and make gold bars. Amen. Glory to God. Gold ingots. Glory to God. And men can do all of that, but men cannot reach into man's hearts. They can't refine or get into man's hearts. Amen. Glory to God. But the Lord, the Bible says here, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Amen. It says, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Now, why does God try the hearts? Well, to see that, we need to go to Proverbs 25:4. And when we get to Proverbs 25:4, in the King James Version, Proverbs 25:4 says, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. What's this saying? Let me define some things, because that was in the King James Version. Dross is anytime you refine silver or gold, at certain temperatures, the impurities in the silver and gold come up to the top. Come up to the top. Amen? And then that is skimmed off. And what is skimmed off is called dross. The dross comes up, all the impurities, the rocks, the stones, it even might be other metals, like it could be aluminum, it could be iron, it could be copper, it could be all kind of stuff mixed in with that gold ore or silver ore. But when you melt it and you want pure gold or pure silver, after it gets a certain temperature, the impurities raise to the top and they're skimmed off. Amen? And this says that when you take away the dross from the silver, there comes forth a vessel for the finer or for the refiner. Amen? Glory to God. To get a better rendering of Proverbs 25:4, because in the King James, I'll read it again, "Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer." But in the Positive Thinking Bible, it makes it so much clearer what this verse says. Listen to the same verse in the Positive Thinking Bible. Silver must be purified before it can be used to make something of value. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Silver must be purified before it can be used to make something of value. Amen? And also, we must be purified before we can be used. Glory to God. Some things must be purified to be of use. When you look at men in an unstayed or unpurified state, they look useless. Amen. But glory to God. When you clean them up, when God cleans them up and takes out the dross or takes out the impurities, they can come forth something greatly to be used. You know, Smith Wigglesworth, before he got saved, there was a lot of dross in him. And he was telling his wife, he even told her not to go to church. Amen. Because of all the impurities in him. Glory to God. But to make a long story short, when God got through with him, he came forth a vessel. Oh, wow. What a wonderful saint of God, a wonderful man of God. Amen. Glory to God. When the impurities of sin he repented and the Holy Ghost took that out of his life. Glory to God. He was made of great value. Amen. There's all kinds of books by Smith Wigglesworth. And when you read them, they're so edifying. Amen. And this was a man who at one time forbid his wife to go to church. And one night he locked her out. He said, "If you go to church, I'm going to lock the door at a certain time. And if you're not in the house by that time, you'll just be locked out all night." And that's exactly what happened. When she came home from church late at night, she came to the door and it was locked. And she couldn't even get in her own house. So she had to stoop down at the stoop of her house and go to sleep against the door. She was on the outside, but she was leaning against the door, stooped down. And when Smith came down in the morning, and he recognized that his wife wasn't home, and he opened the front door, she was leaning up against the door asleep. So when he opened up the door, she fell in the house. And because she was such a strong Christian, see, if it was you, you'd have got mad. You'd have said, "Now, why did you do me like that? I'm your spouse, and you locked me out." And it was cold, and, you know, because England is cold and it's rainy over there. Amen? Glory to God. But she was a strong Christian. And when she fell on the floor, he opened up the door because she was leaning against the door, sleep, in a crouch position. And so when he opened up the door, she fell in the house. So she got up, and instead of being mad, she said, "Smith, what do you want for breakfast?" And that so touched his heart that he went and prayed and repented. And he repented to God how he was and how he had treated his wife and the things that he did. And the dross was brought up to the top and skimmed off in time. This was a process of time. And Smith Wigglesworth became a world-shaking Christian man, amen, preacher and teacher of the gospel, amen. Glory to God. Because things in one state, they can be useless. But in another state, they can be extremely valuable. You take unused silver, just ordinary silver. If you in one state, it's just ordinary. But if you take that and make that into a candelabrum, if you've ever been to an English silver store and looked at those beautiful, beautiful, pure silver candelabrums, how much do they cost? You get a set of candelabrums, English silver, you're going to pay $20,000 and $30,000. I can't even imagine what, and that was back in my day. I can't even imagine what they probably cost today. Probably $25,000 and $30,000 now for candelabrums, but they're pure silver. Amen. And in one state, it's just ordinary dirt, but in another state, extremely valuable and extremely beautiful and extremely useful. Amen. Glory to God. So things in one state can be useless, but in another state, they can be extremely valuable. Amen. Glory to God. And that points us to the fact that people must be processed or trained before they can become useful. Amen. Christians need to be processed. They have to be processed before they can be useful, because when they get saved, their spirit is regenerated. God's life is imparted to their spirit, amen, and their spirit is made alive. But they still are in a flesh body, still have a carnal mind, amen. Glory to God. And all of that has to be, if you will, refined before they can be useful. Because when you're saved, oh, you're so happy and you're joyful, and you're just jumping up and down. But then you still have some ways about you, and you still have some things that you need to get cleaned up and get delivered from. Amen? And really, although you're a joy to God and you're valuable, you can't be useful as a Christian worker with all that junk in you, because somebody will say something to you or do something to you, and you'll still be in the flesh. You'll want to fight them. And that's out of the question for a Christian. We're to witness to them. We're to tell them about Jesus. We're to tell them there is another way to live. Amen? Glory to God. How about Smith's Wigglesworth? When his wife fell through in the door when he opened it up, if she hadn't have been a strong Christian, she might have stood up and gave him what for? Amen? But she didn't. She was a strong Christian, a loving Christian. And she said, "Smith, what do you want for breakfast?" Amen. And that kindness just broke him down. He couldn't take the kindness. He had judged that she needed to say something mean to him, but she didn't. Amen. She was useful. Amen. And because she was processed and refined and useful, she said the right thing at the right time, and it got the right results. The Bible says love never fails. And Smith repented and became a great man of God. I'm up against a commercial. Hold on. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC, is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
Beloved, why does God refine the silver and the gold? Glory to God. Why does God take away the dross from the silver? Speaking of our lives, amen? Well, because the condition of it affects its value. The condition of a thing affects its value. You go to right now, this is 2020. You go to get a 2020 automobile. Oh, it should be in fine condition. It's not even a year old. But if you go and look at it and it's 2020 automobile and it's already got 100,000 miles on it and it's run down and the fender is hanging off and the engine is sputtering, the condition of the thing, the year says it should be of value, but the condition of it says forget it, don't buy. Amen? Glory to God. And so because the condition of a thing affects its value, God, glory to God, purifies our heart. Amen? Glory to God. If you want change, glory to God, if you want change, take away the dross. Take away the things that are not edifying, that are not Christian, that are not that do not work for change, that do not work for good. Amen? Glory to God. The other thing about this, these two verses, it shows you that you need to be able to see the silver amongst the dross. Sometimes when you look at a person, you don't see the silver. Amen? A lot of times, now I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this to hurt anybody's feelings, but I don't know how else to say it. Amen? Forgive, Pastor. Amen? Let grace cover what I'm about to say to you. Sometimes when you see a heavyset person, amen, I've noticed that a lot of times people in very critical conditions, they are not Hollywood beautiful. Amen? They don't have long blonde hair and perfect body shapes, amen? They might have had to study for 5, 6, 8, 10 years to get the skills that they needed, and they might have overate, and they might not have the perfect body shape and proportion. I remember I was looking at one very worldwide ministry, and the media, the person in charge of the media room, he was a little on the big side, I mean really big. Amen? And I found a videographer I know, and he's rather large. And I've noticed that the people who do the back room work, the people who make it work, the people who a lot of time, not all the time now, not all the time, but I found in my own life, not to judge the book by the cover, because a lot of people who have skills, they wouldn't make it in a Hollywood movie in the starring role. Amen? Glory to God. They would be rejected by Hollywood. But they have such talent, and they're so useful. Wow! They can do the job. They know how to do it. They can do stuff. Amen? You can't judge the book by the cover. So when you have to be able to see the silver among the dross, because just looking at them, they might look like dross. Amen? They may not look like nothing. Amen? Glory to God. But there's silver there. Amen? Don't judge the book by its cover. I'm telling you. Now, I said that is not, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. I hope I haven't offended anybody. But in my own life, that's what I've seen. That quite often, not all the time, the people who actually get the job, not the figurehead, not the CEO, not the big boys who they can take off and go golfing and go work out every day. Now, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the person in head of the office, that gets the things done, that has to do the payroll, that has to do the operations part, that has to put the show on and make everybody and account for everybody being there and then know what parts they do. Those people work so hard that a lot of times they're not Hollywood beautiful. They're run down. They're tired. They're overworked. Amen. And you have to don't be put off by the dross. Amen. You might look at them and they don't look much, but boy, can they get it done. They know what they're doing. And if you're smart, glory to God, if you're smart, you'll let them alone and let them do it. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. And also these verses teach us that even in silver, there's impurities. Amen. What that means? Even in Christians, oh, they're a Christian. They're not supposed to do that. Oh, he's a Christian. He's pastor. He ain't supposed to do that. Amen? Glory to God. Well, glory to God. Even in Christians, when I was in Bible school and ministry school, they told us, be careful with who you have to be around you. And they gave an example. They said, now, and we in our ministry, for fun, when we're not doing ministry and we're at the house, for fun, we play cards, not gambling, not doing it for gambling, but just for fun, just to have something else to do. And we play cards. And sometimes people coming in, glory to God, visiting us, they want to, you know, be around you and fellowship with you. But sometimes they can't handle the human side to you. They see the ministry side, and they're impressed, and they're blessed by your ministry. They're edified. I mean, you're just the bomb, amen? But then if you have the privilege to be with them, you get to see the human side. And sometimes people can't handle the human side, amen? Glory to God. And you have to understand that even in the purest of silver, there's still some impurities, amen? Glory to God. They might want to play dominoes. The greatest who, I put this in quotes, okay, the greatest saint you know or the most spiritual person you know, when they're not ministering or whatever, they might like to watch Frontline or the news, or they might like to play dominoes or play cards or something, and you get the privilege of seeing the human side, amen? Don't be put off. Because even in silver, glory to God, there's impurities, even in refined silver. Remember what I said, that they can get a silver 99.9% pure, but there's still that 0.01% that even men in the hottest blast furnaces, they can't get that out. Amen? They can get it 99.9, but not 100%. Amen? So you're going to have to grace people, amen, because you need gracing. You need some gracing. There's some impurities that are still in you, amen. And then when you're making a vessel, when God is making a vessel, there's all kind of different works that have to be accomplished in that vessel before it becomes useful. There's the purging phase. There's the refining work that has to be done. There's the shaping and molding work that has to be done on the person, and then the person has to be, there's a polishing that has to go into a piece before it can shine, amen? So there's all kind of different stages and things that God works on us, amen? And you may have all the talent in the world, but before you become valuable, you must be refined and worked and polished and fixed by God. Because before you can be truly useful, amen? Glory to God. You can have all kind of talent, glory to God. But Paul was zealous, amen? He was zealous and sincere and had all kind of talent. The boy could speak all kind of different languages, and he knew the Torah. He knew all kind. He was an intellectual, amen? Glory to God. But he had to be refined. Why? Because before he was refined, he was trying to destroy Christians and destroy Christianity. He got put in the blast furnace and refined and polished. He wrote, what, three-quarters of the New Testament. The Holy Ghost used him to write that. Amen? Glory to God. And so we thank God. Glory to God. Be thankful of the things that God is doing in your life, the trials and the tests that he permits you to go through. And why is he doing that? Because he wants to make your life tough? No, he's got to get the dross out. He's got to get the impurities out. He's got to deliver you from some things before you can be useful. I can't send you as an ambassador over to another country to represent us if you can't keep your temper. If you're a drunkard and a glutton and you can't keep your temper and you're a womanizer, you're chasing people of the opposite sex, glory to God, I can't send you anywhere. Amen? I've got to wait until God refines you and takes you to a place of purity, amen, and a place of polishing and a place of final works to get you ready. And when you're finally ready and useful, then God can use you. Amen? Then God can use you. He can use you. And he knows where to put you, at what place, what time, who to bump into, and fills your mouth with what to say. Amen? Glory to God. When Joseph went before Pharaoh, he could have said all kinds of things to Pharaoh. But God gave him exactly what to say to impress Pharaoh. Why? So that Pharaoh could give him a job. And Pharaoh gave him a job, prime minister. Amen? Glory to God. But it was critical that Joseph say the right thing at the right time, in the right place, to the right person. Because nobody else could have elevated Joseph. But he spoke to the right person at the right time with the right words, using the right wisdom. And when Pharaoh heard that, he said, "Is such another man as this that has the Spirit of God? Is there? I don't know anyone else in my kingdom that has the Spirit of God like this man has." And so he knew there's only one man to give the job to. There's not another man with the Spirit of God in him like this man. So no sense me looking at another Egyptian. This man has been processed. This man has been refined. This man, you know, I was looking at a program last night. I got to make it quick because I'm up against time. But they were showing some that was a story about homeless people. And the thing that I've observed, to make a long story short, because the program was an hour long, I believe. Yeah, an hour long. And when I was looking at the lives of these homeless people, the thing that I noticed, the thing that stood out to me the most, no character development, no integrity, and no God. At no time did they ever, all the families, did they ever mention the Bible. At no time did they ever mention God. When it came to doing things, they wanted to play and look at videos and fool around. No character development. Amen? They lacked character. They lacked integrity. And so I summed it up by saying the reason that they're in their situation is because they're trying to build a life without a foundation. Without character and integrity, how are you going to build your life? When it's time to go down there to that job, you're sleeping, amen? When it's time to do what you're supposed to do, you don't feel like it. You want to stay home and on the couch and look at videos 8, 12, 18 hours a day. You're going to stay poor. You're going to stay poor. You're going to stay in that condition. And they were showing how food banks were giving them food and trying to help them. And I thought to myself, they're going to stay in the same condition because they don't have the character. No one is built into their life as young people. They never got the proper character. They were let to do whatever they wanted to do. Amen? They weren't refined. The dross wasn't refined out of their life. Amen? They weren't put into a furnace so that the furnace could burn out the impurities so that they could become productive citizens. They were trying to build a life without the foundation. No foundation, no God, No character development. How are you going to, how, even if someone was to give them a job, they wouldn't show up for it. Amen. Glory to God. I'm out of time. Glory to God. I didn't want to end on that. God bless you. Let God work on you so that he can bring you forth. God bless you. See you next week. Bye-bye.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.